Hey folks, my name is Dr. Amy Perlman. I'm a board certified urologist with expertise in sexual, hormonal, and genitourinary health. And welcome to Pearls and Perspectives. We are at the SMSNA meeting in glorious Grapevine, Texas.
That's right.
Welcome,
and
Texas.
You're not too far away, right?
3 hours
you're
away.
3 hours away. So I have Dr. Mo Kira here with us today, and he is the recent president of the society. Well, what's it like to kind of like, I mean, you're still well on the board and you still have like your hands in sort of everything, but is it nice to be able to take a little bit of like, can you get a sigh of relief when you're no longer the pres?
Yeah, not yet. But I will tell you, this is probably by far the best meeting of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, the content is unbelievable. And testosterone, ED, Peyronie's, surgical. You learn so much. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So I ran into Peter Bayek at the gym the other day at the hotel, and he is the one that was like the mastermind behind this year's meeting. So I know you're privy to a lot of the behind the scenes in terms of creating the meeting. Like, how do you come up with the topics? How do you make everyone happy?
You know, this looks so easy, this meeting. The amount of work that Peter and his team put into this was unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the reality is that you have to think about all the different subspecialties, female sexual dysfunction, ED, Peyronie's, even all the residents, all the abstracts that went in here. We have a record of abstracts. Over 400 abstracts that were accepted, all the medical students.
Yeah.
Kudos to Peter. Peter has done an incredible job, and he made it look seamless, but it was a tremendous amount of work.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So you have a lot of projects that you and your team are presenting at this meeting. Like, how many? Was it like 10 or something?
Over 20.
Whoa.
Yeah. We have 20 projects. No, listen, first of all, our medical students are the most amazing medical students. I mean, they work unbelievably hard. They put in the abstracts. And by the way, you are one of our medical students. You are one of our star medical students. And you and I wrote a paper when you were my medical student. And now these medical students are here. And they killed it.
Yeah.
And each one of them presented. I mean, the themes were predominantly testosterone, Peyronie's disease. But we were heavy on a lot of testosterone projects. And they did a great job.
Yeah. Now, what I love, because I had one of the members of your research team send me over some of the abstracts that I could review, you know, ahead of time. And what I love is that you're not reinventing the wheel in terms of the topics that people have already presented on when it comes to testosterone. I mean, some of your projects are talking about testosterone and skeletal muscle mass in women.
Yeah.
And you're working with Dr. Newsom, who's like a very well-known, you know, person in like the perimenopausal and menopausal space.
Yeah.
How did that connection start? And like, what are some of these questions you're trying to answer when it comes to women and testosterone?
It's so important. First of all, women historically do not get a lot of attention when it comes to testosterone research. Far less than even one-tenth of the dollars go into women with testosterone. And that project that we did for muscle mass was actually with Gabrielle Lyon. Gabrielle Lyon is one of the world's experts nearly in muscle mass, muscle-centric medicine. And so what we found out is this. Patients who have more muscle and greater strength tend to have better sexual function.
Do you hear that?
It is true. No, it is true. Now, you may say, well, is that a direct effect or an indirect effect? You may say, hey, Mo, well, because they have more muscle and they have more strength, they must be healthier. And that's, of course, why they have better sexual function. But that's called an indirect effect.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a direct effect. Muscle is one of the smartest organs in our body because it protects the endothelium. It protects the lining of the blood vessel. So the more muscle you have, the greater the protection on the lining of the blood vessels, right? And that protects the blood flow into the penile tissue and to the female genitalia as well. So that's very important. Secondly, muscle is one of the most important organs that takes up insulin, right? More muscle, better insulin resistance. It's insulin control. So
more muscle, less problems.
Less problems, right? So I believe that muscle is the best predictor of sexual function. Yeah. And so keep the muscle mass up if you want to maintain your sexual function, men or women.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my gosh, that's so fascinating.
They presented that. It was a great abstract. Yeah. It was very well received.
Yeah. And I love Gabrielle Lyon. You know, there, as I listen to more and more content in sort of like the muscle is medicine space.
Yeah.
I love when people say there's like an orthopedic surgeon, Vonda Wright, that says bone is like an endocrine organ, right? Muscle is an endocrine organ. And I think we learn this as medical students, right? We learn about all these different, you know, biochemical processes, and then we kind of forget it.
Yeah.
And we think that muscle is just if you want to like look good in a muscle shirt, and bones are just there for your skeleton. And then I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, the bone marrow, like everything that happens like in the bone marrow just like blows my mind. Yeah. And oh my gosh, so much of this work with testosterone is important for maintaining those organs. That's fascinating.
All we care about is that our health span lasts as long as our lifespan.
Yeah.
That's all I care about, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to live till 80 and be healthy till 60.
Right.
Right. And the way I'm going to prevent that is diet, exercise, sleep.
I saw you at the gym the other day.
We're gonna do that. But the reality is you maintain your muscle and bone strength because that is what causes the frailty and the number one cause of injury as we get older. So when I am 70, I need to maintain the muscle mass and the bone mineral density so that I don't take the hit.
Yeah.
And the way you do that is now.
Yeah.
You start now, right? That's very important.
There was a presentation at a plenary maybe yesterday that actually really scared me because he said people are going to live to 120.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wait a second. I have to rethink my retirement plan.
Yeah.
You know, like, because, so that's one thing, but also like, how am I going to live, like actually enjoy my life potentially when I'm at 110?
Right.
If like I'm right now 39 and I have osteoporosis, right? Or if I don't have muscle in the bank, how the heck am I going to maintain that for another 80 years?
Yes. So that is that. So everyone talks about increasing the lifespan.
Yeah.
Right? The lifespan in the United States right now is 77 years old, right? The health span in the United States is 67 years old. And every country says, by this year, I'm going to increase the lifespan to this.
Yeah.
Don't talk perfect. To me. Don't talk to me about increasing my lifespan. Talk about increasing my health span, right? I don't want to live longer in poor health, right? So the reality is, tell me how you're going to increase my health span to match my lifespan. But to tell someone you live to 120 and be healthy to 80, that's a problem.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you and your team, you said, are presenting like 20 abstracts at this meeting. So what's next? What like are there other questions that you're looking to answer?
Yeah.
Already answered them.
I mean, we are looking heavily now into women. Uh-huh. So historically in my career, we spent a lot of time looking at testosterone in men. And now we're working with Dr. Newsom in the UK and looking at her database. We're looking at others. Testosterone in women is poorly understood. We have very minimal research. And women benefit just as much as men do, right? It's not just a man or male hormone. It is a female hormone. And women make more testosterone than they make estrogen.
That blew my mind. I was like, how am I like several years in my career and I just learned this information?
4x more estrogen, T of estrogen.
Wow.
And to say that they don't benefit with energy and muscle mass and depression doesn't make any sense to me. And we say that because we don't have the data. It's not because it's not true. It's because, in my opinion, we don't have the data. So we're working very heavy on T and women research.
Yeah. So your career is evolving, right?
Evolving.
And I think a lot of people, we kind of like get stuck in what we're currently doing. And that's what we do for our entire careers.
Yeah.
And yet the stuff that you're doing now is quite different from what you were doing even 10 years ago. What's your message for people who are, let's say, you know, mid-career?
Yeah.
You know, at the height of their career and they had all this expertise in what they're doing. What's your message for like, maybe you got to change it up a little bit?
Yeah. This is where my passion's gone to.
Yeah.
No more giving drugs. Lifestyle modification. Lifestyle modification is the way of the future. So medicine 2.0 is I'm going to wait till my testosterone's low. I'm going to wait till I have a problem and I'm going to go get treatment. I'm going to wait for the heart attack and then I'm going to go get treatment. I'm going to wait for the diabetes. No more. You are going to prevent those conditions from happening in the first place. And your best prevention is lifestyle modification. And for each one of those, for diet, exercise, sleep, and stress reduction, there's excellent science on how those can reverse and improve your sexual function, improve your T levels. That's the ticket. It's not about give me the pill, right? Do the work.
Well, I've never been so inspired, right? Because lifestyle modification is always first-line therapy for every single chronic condition in medicine, and yet we skip over that so often, right? And what you're doing, the way that you say that, like the vigor and the passion is like, holy shit, let's get our shit together, folks.
But Amy,
do this.
We have a secret weapon, you and I.
Yeah, we do.
If I told a young man at 30 years old, I need you to improve your diet and your exercise and your sleep because it's going to improve your blood pressure.
Yeah.
It's going to make your blood pressure better and we got to improve your blood pressure. There's a good chance he's probably not going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? He's not going to get screened. If I said, you got ED, you want to reverse your ED? You eat healthy, exercise and sleep, and this is a program I put you on?
Yeah.
Within 6 months, you'll see a difference?
Yeah.
He's on it.
Yeah, he's on it.
He's on it. And that also helps his hypertension, diabetes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the gateway The gateway to a young man, particularly his health, mm-hmm. is through his sexual function,
yeah.
right? You use your sexual function, its ability to improve his diabetes. He won't listen to you otherwise, but he'll pay every single attention to you when you talk about his sex life.
Yeah, it really is a secret sauce. It's like the way to make a topic sexy is to literally associate it with sex.
Yes.
Which we can do with every quality of life condition that you and I treat.
Yeah. If you tell a guy gets a hypertension, he's kind of sad.
Yeah.
If he tells it has ED, he's devastated.
Yeah.
Right, think about it.
Yeah. Right. Well, so you got to listen to this guy. And right now he's like on the podcast circuit. He's making his ways. You said you're writing a book, I think, right? You're working on a book.
Yeah.
Mo, it is always such a pleasure to talk to you.
Always great to see you. So proud of you.
Thank you.
Best medical student at Baylor we ever had. She's amazing.
Tanner, don't cut this part out. Leave this part in, okay?
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in today on Pearls and Perspectives.